Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, September 6th. We are glad you are here, and we are glad and excited and happy to talk about AEW All In predictions. We're going to see how bad I'm off this week. I think I did okay last week. I can't remember because my memory sucks. But we want to say thank you for joining us today. I hope you guys are having a wonderful Friday. And as I start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
Rob, do you know how I know that the world as we know it is about to come to an end?
Okay. No, I don't. But I want to hear it.
Okay. So I was walking home after work today, and it was slightly raining. And okay. I saw a woman.
Oh, yeah. I like where this is going.
With a square shaped umbrella.
Oh. Okay, I didn't know you were going that route, but okay.
Yeah, we're all gonna die.
Square umbrellas.
If you're an umbrella, okay?
Ella,
you have
Ella.
Two jobs, okay? Two. Number one, be fucking circle. I'm sorry for cursing and like 1:30.
Hey, it's okay. We're past that. We're good. We are good.
I don't care anyway, because I'm so fucking pissed. Your first job as an umbrella is you are round, okay? You're circle shaped. Number two, you probably have to keep me from getting wet. But number one, okay, you are a circle if you're an umbrella. This is the first time I'm seeing a square shaped umbrella, and I almost stopped her just so I could take that umbrella and shove it up her ass. Like, ooh. What is this? Like, what? Square-shaped umbrellas. This is, and I never thought that this would bug me so much, but it really does. It's like, what?
Somewhere Rihanna's just pissed.
Yeah, Rihanna's really pissed, because how can you dance with a square-shaped umbrella? This is just nonsense. Anyway, it's my first week back to work after my London trip. I hate it, because I told you and Corey and Doc, this has been a journey for me emotionally, because every time I come home from a vacation And I go back to work and I see what the bar would look like one day when I quit my job. And it's this. So I'm not that person, okay? Like I don't mean that the bar will shut down when I quit. I'm not that person. No, I'm not saying that. Obviously, in my profession, everyone can be replaced. You're not special. You're just a bartender who like pours drinks and takes people's money. Like everyone's replaceable. But like if I don't work there anymore, it's just gonna be icky, okay? It's just gonna be icky, and there will be no toilet paper and paper towels in any of the bathrooms, which is like the bare minimum. I was a bit pissed. The thing that pissed me off even more is that when I got, you know, some regular guys at the bar and I tell them what was going on, and they're like, this is weird. Other women work in this bar too. Why are they not cleaning? And I'm like, there are other men working in the bar too. What do you mean by that? Just ridiculous. This is basically how it's been this entire weekend. It's been a rough start. I'm happy that we have All Out this weekend, even though I don't feel excited for it, because we've been having wrestling pay-per-views every week for a while now, even more than one. Like last week we had three and more probably, and it's been kind of much, but I'm sure that the show will be extremely freaking amazing. But as we start off the show, guys, hi, this is the wrestling show. Please leave a like on the video, like every week. Thank you for supporting us. If you like to support us with your money and you're feeling generous, please send us a super chat. It's the bottom of the YouTube live chat, the little dollar sign. You can send us any amount of money and it will get your question or statement read live on here. If you're watching on any other platform besides YouTube, you can send us a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. It makes us keep a little bit more of the proceeds, which is always good. Subscribe to Fightful Overbooked, the very channel that we are on. Subscribe to youtube.com/Fightful. And last but definitely not least, please subscribe to Fightful Select, the most accurate wrestling news that you're ever going to get. Both Corey and Sean have been busting their ass to prove to you that this is serious, okay? And Hangman lights people's houses on fire because this is so serious, okay?
Yeah,
this is so cool. Yes. So, please subscribe to Fightful Select. We do have a free tier in which you can see the headlines of every post, which will make you understand that you most definitely have to subscribe to Fightful Select. So, with that, we can start talking.
Well, we might as well start with Adam Page and Swerve Strickland. Talk about Dynamite, what went down. In my opinion, this was the best ending of a go-home show that AEW has had. It was very, very dramatic. Like when you think about it when you watch it back, and it was just so well done. So well done. You got the dramatic acting from Swerve and even Prince Nana. And then you had the, I would say, psychotic Hangman Adam Page, who basically had no reaction to what he was doing, you know, like he didn't care. And I thought it was fantastic how they did this. And there's so many, like, there are so many, well, maybe not so many, but there's like Easter eggs to this. I mean, I don't know if you saw, but there's a picture of, like, in Hangman's Titantron, there's a picture of a house, like, basically on fire, you know? So it's, It's stuff like that. It's just amazing, like how they've done this, and I think it's really, really good story arc. And I think, I mean, granted, it's easy to say this now, but those two are going to be attached to the hip forever. You know, like that. This feud is one of those feuds that AEW will have no matter, like, whatever happens. Like, they might be done, like, in a year or two, but they can go back to it in 2 years and just bring it back and have the same hatred for each other. This is something that I'm not comparing it to Flair Sting. Okay, I'm not comparing it to that, but it has the potential to be there in time. It has that feeling where it can get there in time. And I just thought it was amazingly well done. So I just wanted to get your thoughts. What did you think? Because I know you watch it the next morning because of where you're at. And
yes.
I wanted to know, like, there was a part of me that almost messaged you saying, Maggie, I just need you to, like, we just need your reactions for the last 20 minutes of the show. I almost messaged you that because that way it wouldn't have given anything away. And we could have just gone from there, but I didn't. And, but it was fantastic. I thought, what were your thoughts?
Well, first of all, my reactions would have been, disingenuous, because every morning when I have my coffee, and then comes a point where I have to go to the bathroom and take a massive shit. And during during that time, I usually scroll through Facebook, but because I never...
I don't think people needed to know that, but okay.
Like, this isn't news, okay? Like, people take dumps.
Okay, I got that, but...
Like, yeah, so when I scroll through...
You know one thing that I've always said, sorry to cut you off there, like, women don't fart, they just giggle with their assholes, but...
Yeah, you're so wrong.
Okay.
Yes. So, as I was saying, I usually scroll through Facebook at that time because it's fitting, and I got spoiled by a Fightful post about, the House on Fire, but it still was pretty amazing what I saw. Were you about to say something?
No, I'm speechless for a few minutes now still.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. So this was really, really amazing. I think that this, I don't know if it's yes, he did. I love that thumbnail that you did. yes, pretty. Yes, he has always. So as I was saying, because I have really, really shitty memory when it comes to stuff like that. I don't know if I want to go as far as to call this the best go home segment in AEW history, but it's probably really close. Also,
it's okay to be wrong.
It's okay to be wrong. WWE has been around for a long ass time, and I could not possibly remember all of it. So I can't speak for WWE, but in terms of AEW, Jesus Christ, man. I mean, I saw a video of the beginning of Hangman and Swerve's feud from last year, I want to say. So I don't know if it was Will Washington who posted this. I really don't. So I can't give credit because I did not remember who that person was to share that on Twitter. The day of, is my mic plugged in?
It just sounds different compared to, I don't know. It just sounds like I don't know. I was just asking.
Yeah. Well, the chat say, also you could have asked me and not, put it in a private chat because I was about to. Yeah. So, there's an echo. Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's try and fix that.
I was just trying to do it like on the DL, but it's okay. I mean, it's our first day. But I don't know where you were going with that, but I just thought overall, again, it was a fantastic go home show. And I'm really, tonight is the AEW Collision go home show, and Rampage, I guess it's Rampage too. I assume it's Rampage because it's a 3-hour show tonight. So you got that going on. And then tomorrow you have All Out. So big weekend. And then SmackDown, of course, is tonight too. So very interesting TV coming up. But, yeah, just.
Is this better?
Yeah, there you are.
Are you better?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
You're good now. Yeah.
Well, that's weird because, like, I just turned it off and on again.
There you
Thank you, CP in the chat. Yeah, so where was I?
I don't know, but we do have a super chat that I'll read real quick.
Yeah.
Ryan Sullivan says, take your dang money.
Thank you, Ryan, sweetie. We're Maggie, so glad to see you this week. Yeah?
You know, Swerve and Hangman are having a ladder or a steel cage match, you know. Mm-hmm. Do you think it would be better if Jeff Jarrett was the enforcer?
No.
That's double J, Jeff Jarrett. JEFFJARRETT. Jeff Jarrett.
Nothing at all.
So fucking stupid, I swear to God.
Yeah, I am. I know. It's great. Hey, but you know, either I'm really stupid or
I didn't mean you. I meant the entire situation.
Oh, the gimmick? So okay. Fucking stupid. Yeah, well, of course everybody at Fightful's a douchebag according to a Twitter account that I saw today. But hey, really? It is what it is. Yep.
Yay.
Yeah. Everybody. It's like a basically when we get interviewed to do this show, like Sean, it's the first question. Hey, before I hire you, I need to know, are you a douchebag? And you say, yeah. And then he's like, okay, you're hired. That's what it
takes. Okay, you're hired. Yes. Yep. Yes. We can absolutely move
on. And the person that said that is an ant collector. So, and hey, if you collect ants, that's fine, but, it is what it is.
I just
wanted to throw that out there.
I don't want to say that, you know, collecting ants is a bad thing.
No, everyone needs
a hobby.
Needs a hobby. Yeah.
So yeah, everything is absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can I just continue talking?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I went off.
Yes. Yes. As I was saying, I have no idea who it was that posted the video on Twitter. A throwback from the beginning of their feud. Swerve said to Hangman, he either has to step aside and give him a spot, or he has to channel and bring out the fire in himself. And that is so good. I mean, talk about an Easter egg. I'm not gonna sit around and speculate that they wanted to do that. I mean, that this is what they meant when they, you know, did that promo last year. I'm absolutely sure that this is not the thing that was supposed to happen. But it was really carefully done. There were people monitoring the situation.
Of course, I was just there. You saw it.
Of course, yeah. I mean, the only reason why things went as smoothly as they did was because you were there. yes, otherwise it would have been a dumpster fire. Yeah. So these are one of the perks of being a Fightful Select subscriber, because you're going to get, you know, news about interesting stuff like that, just backstage stuff when it comes to segments like this. So Sean has some scoops about that. Incredibly insane segment, because what the hell. So it was supposed to be a contract signing thing. And Hangman just straight up threw away kayfabe into a dumpster fire because he was like, this is stupid. We're going to sign a contract for something that's already happening. And I'm like, this is so great. Yeah. I mean, he pissed on kayfabe a lot in this segment.
Kayfabe.
So, yes. Kayfabe. Yeah. I said kayfabe.
I know. I just wanted to throw that out there for my foot.
So Swerve was shown buying a house before Dynamite started. He was like, because I signed a new AEW contract and now I'm finally able to buy my childhood home that was taken away from us. And the first thing, because I know, I understood that a lot of people, the moment they saw this segment, they were like, okay, this something's happening to this house. And because I'm not that bright, because I definitely wouldn't have thought about that. Granted, I did have the segment spoiled, but nevertheless, I knew that the reason why I thought that this was a real segment on Twitter and on social media and everything was because he wanted to piss in the face of everyone who thought that his contract was for a lot of money and it was blown out of proportion. This was the why I thought that they were doing that, just because they can get even more ridiculous. The conversation about that online was as ridiculous as you would assume that it was going to be. Like, a wrestler, even if, let's just assume that Swerve is getting more money than he deserved, which he's not. He deserves all the money that he can get. A wrestler making a lot of money should only make you feel glad about being a wrestling fan in today's age. Because surely those are people who do not want other people to have fun or to love their jobs, God forbid. So this is ridiculous on its own. Swerve was has bought his childhood home. And Hangman was like, your father probably didn't love you as much as you wanted him to. And I'm like, okay, we're getting there. So he was doing that with a selfie stick. And we couldn't see his other hand. And all of a sudden he does, you know, the gesture of, you know, pouring gasoline on stuff. And I'm like, oh, no, this is how we're doing it. This is how they revealed what was about to happen. Because this was incredibly good. Incredibly, incredibly well thought of. Just Hangman is just the best, okay? Every now and then, I'm one of these people that keeps forgetting how good Hangman is. Not in the ring. I understand how good Hangman is in the ring. But he can do this shit. Even, like, back when he was a babyface and, you know, everything that was happening between him and the Dark Order was probably one of the highlights of the show because it was incredibly emotional. And on the other hand, when he was dealing with Dark Order, and he was totally the babyface in this entire situation, but he kept on going through the heel tunnel, and people on Reddit and online said that he kept on doing that because he thought he was a heel. He thought that he was so hard on himself emotionally, and he couldn't live with himself so much. Incredible character work here. I continue thinking that Hangman is the absolute face here, and he was just this dark hero who was pushed a bit too far. Because Swerve still broke into his house while his child was sleeping. And he cut a promo while looking at his child. Okay. This was fucking nuts. And then he drove by his house and watched as Hangman drove his pregnant wife to the hospital to have their second child. He also outed the guy, just like we talked about last week. He fucking outed the guy. Incredible work by, might I say, cinema. I'm sorry, Reg. But absolute cinema. It was a thing of beauty. Incredibly well done, because the shot of Hangman on a sofa drinking whiskey while the house, burning down house, my house. I've been singing along.
Did you see who else was there? Did you see it? Like, there was another Easter egg. I don't know if you saw it.
I saw nothing. Like, I haven't been online. But
I have the picture. Here it is. I'm hilarious.
For those who
are listening to the podcast, I just posted a photo of Beavis and Butthead standing beside Hangman Page. And Beavis is saying, fire, fire, fire. So,
yeah, I was never a fan of Beavis and Butthead. I couldn't get into it because, like, it's a bit of toilet humor, which is not my thing. But I get it. I will never judge people for liking Beavis and Butthead. Tom Jones has been in my head ever since Thursday morning.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that song he did, Burning Down House.
That was him?
My house.
Are you sure that was him? I don't know.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That was Talking Heads. You haven't
heard that song?
Yeah, it's Talking Heads.
It's what?
The band Talking Heads.
Yeah, okay. You talk a bit while I prove you wrong.
Okay, please do.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have covered it, but anyways. Okay, there we go. Yeah, Tom Jones covered it. There you go.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I didn't know it was a cover, but thank you for, you know, having my back.
Yeah, because Adele has a cover version of it, too. No, I have no clue. I don't know. Yeah, she is. I just have no idea. I doubt she's covered that song. It's just that.
Yes.
Okay, this show's off the rails. Anyways. Yeah, that threw me completely off. Where were we going? No idea.
We were talking about Swerve and Hangman.
Yeah,
and
I know.
I shared my thoughts, and now we can move
I didn't
on.
Know what we were doing. Okay, so we're
well,
done
from
Swerve.
Well, if you just listen to me, maybe you'd know.
Well, I did, but Tom Jones threw me off. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Alfonso Ribeiro from Fresh Prince. He always got into it when Tom Jones was mentioned. So I guess I just kind of pulled a Carlton Banks there. I don't know. But anyways. Yeah, there you go. You got it down.
Yeah.
Man, by the way, off topic. Tyra Banks back in the day. Yeah. Anyways, going back on to topic. AEW All Out predictions. Let's just go there because it's my first day, as you can all tell.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, he's not here yet. Anyways,
he's
All
not
Out.
Gonna with me yeah. talking about pooping on the show.
Yeah. All Out, AEW All Out tomorrow night, September 7th, live on pay per view. Bleacher Report if it works. Thriller.
Damn it, it's tomorrow? I thought it was Saturday, Sunday.
Nope, no ma'am, no ma'am.
Tomorrow. Fucking shit.
Yeah, more shit talk. Okay. So, Maggie, let's get started here. I don't know if any zero hour matches have been added. I don't.
Probably,
I couldn't tell you.
Probably TK is gonna add, you know, a 20 man tag.
Yeah. All right. Well, we do have. Well, I didn't grab photos or anything because I just didn't care that much to do it. So let's just start with the AEW Tag Team Championship match. The Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, taking on the Blackpool Combat Club's Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta. Who do you got, Maggie?
I don't care.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. No, I do care, but because I, you know, for the wrong reasons. I care because I fucking hate this match. I will never be okay with All In and All Out being so close to each other.
Well played.
It's stupid. I'm sorry, but there's zero built apart from Swerve and Hangman about this entire pay-per-view. I mean, tell me a reason. I know it's probably Collision, but like, tell me a reason Mercedes Moné and Hikaru Shida is happening. All the matches are gonna be freaking amazing. I understand this, but like, my hype levels are non-existent for this pay-per-view. Joe Hulbert mentioned something incredibly great on the prediction show with Stephanie Chase on youtube.com/Fightful. Please subscribe. He said that this match, it's almost as if the following thing happened over at the AEW headquarters. Tony Khan and the Young Bucks met each other. And they were like, hey, dude, I thought you were booking the tag division. And the other one was like, no, I thought that you were booking the tag division. And they have no idea that the other one isn't booking the tag division because it's been non-existent. That there is no tag division in AEW. And it's really crazy because it used to be, AEW used to be the place where tag team wrestling mattered. It's the saddest of days when I do not give a crap about a Claudio Castagnoli match. He's one of my favorites, and this is making me angry. Because why aren't you keeping the two divisions separately? You know, the trios division and the tag team division. Those championships, again, they were supposed to mean something individually. And now you're basically... Because it devalues one set of the titles if you win both of them. It's as if back in the day when Vince thought, what else can I put Charlotte on Charlotte? You know, what other title can I put on her? And when you start trapping people with a lot of shit ton of titles, it just means that little for the titles themselves. So, hey, are you doing something on All Out? No. So might as well, you know, challenge the Bucks for the titles. I mean, they could be defending those trios championships. Probably, maybe. No. But, man, it's just...
I'm sure that'll be a zero-hour match.
Yeah, but like, against who?
I mean, good point.
And I understand that this, it might be a 0 hour match, but again, it's probably going to be an amazing match. But why? Like, give me a reason to care about this tag team division and/trios division. I don't see the Young Bucks losing their championships without a build, first of all. Second of all, this sucks because the newly crowned trios champions are about to get pinned. So why are we even doing this?
Yeah.
Lawrence.
I don't know, but Young Bucks are going to win. That I do know. I assume
that's
who you got.
Like, I've been talking for 10 minutes and that's the only thing you're gonna say?
Yeah, because you're right. There is nothing like that they've really done. They haven't really done anything. It, in a way, like, the most The only thing that got built out of this, really, is the most intriguing thing out of all of it is Jon Moxley. Because of what he did on Wednesday when he said to... I almost said Matthew Perry, and that would have been way wrong. Jack Perry. Like, you're a good kid. I mean, like, where the hell is this coming from? Like, I'm...
Yeah, no, don't even get me started on this entire situation. Because, like, I actually liked the way that this segment was built. Because, I'm sorry to cut you off about this, but, like, Moxley for me has always been...
Intriguing for me.
Yeah, intriguing. And, like, he's always been... awkward, but in an intense kind of way, if that makes any sense. So him casually walking past the Elite and saying, like, I don't care what they say, you're a good kid. This is kind of adorable and slash frightening and puzzling at the same time, you know? Like, that's fine. And him saying, hey, I just need to talk, Darby. So I hope that this means that Moxley wants to kick his fucking ass and not bring him into this newly formed stable that he's been, you know, doing with Maria Shafir. Please don't. What is this weird ass boner that TK has for Darby and Orange Cassidy? Like, what is this? Please explain it to me.
I can't explain.
Yeah. So what was weird about this entire segment on Dynamite this week was that Bryan Danielson was actually in commentary, and none of the people on commentary table were like, hey, Bryan, like, what's the deal with Moxie? Like, can you please give us some, you know, insight as to what's happening with Mox? Like, you've been, you know, kind of close to him, fairly close to the guy. Also, you're hanging out with Renee Paquette a lot. We also have a lot of segments with Renee Paquette. After every Moxley segment, Renee Paquette is shown in backstage doing an interview. And no one asks her, hey, what's up with your husband? Like, have you seen anything strange with this behavior? And, like, this is weird. Like, everyone knows that they're married, okay? Like, they aren't even hiding it. Like, back in the day during Moxley's feud with Eddie Kingston, like, she was right in the middle of that. So this is kind of weird. No one, and Excalibur is at that commentary table, okay? Excalibur is there, and he's always asking the questions. And no, like, none of it. Was Taz on the table, or did he leave? If Taz was on the table, remember. Maybe kind of ask the guy. That's stupid. So yeah, this entire match was put together at the very last moment because they realized that the tag titles need to be defended. I know that FTR and GYV are lurking around the corner. GYV are doing this amazing thing on social media where they get fucking pissed at people calling them the British FTR, and this is bugging them immensely. I can't wait for this match. It's probably going to be the match that lights the fire around the tag division. A lot of fire on Dynamite.
We can hope.
Yeah, we can hope. Hopefully this ends up happening, because initially I was happy when the Young Bucks were holding those championships, because I was like, when the Elite are holding gold, they make that shit matter. And, like, this is not the case in this instance alone. And it just, it's been bugging me a whole lot.
So, you have the Young Bucks too, I take it?
Yeah.
Okay. We will move on to another member of the Elite, the AEW Continental Championship. Okada is taking on, it's going to be a four-way match, and there's three mystery opponents. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to predict this one, but I assume that Okada's going to win. I mean, just based off...
Well, the mystery
opponent... It's hard to pick against Okada anytime, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, the mystery opponents are going to get... they're having three matches on Rampage/Collision this week. And they're not that hard to predict. They're really not. Like, you have the matches, right?
I'm going to pull them up.
Yeah, because it's like most probably definitely going to be Mark Briscoe, Orange Cassidy, and what was that third match? Please.
Is it Ricochet? No. Let's see here. Yeah, Ricochet versus Brian Keith. Or no, excuse me, Orange Cassidy versus Brian
Orange Keith. Cassidy versus Brian Keith. So Orange Cassidy. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's see what else we got here. Boo doo 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 doo. Yeah, AEW didn't do too well with putting all this together here. So let's see here. Well, we also have Deonna Purrazzo. This isn't part of this, but Deonna Purrazzo versus Sheeta tonight. That'll be good. As I go through everything. Lance Archer versus Mark Briscoe.
Yeah, Mark Briscoe's going to win this, and I hate it because Lance Archer, come on.
Takeshita versus your guy.
Yeah, and Takeshita. Like, these are the three people that are going to be in this match. The thing that pops me most is that we're going to get a square off between Takeshita and Okada. It's probably happened before, but I have a really, really sucky memory because, like, I'm not good at this. Obviously, I feel like it's happened before. Yes, it has happened
Okada.
Before.
Yeah, Okada and Takeshita?
Yeah, Okada and Takeshita.
Yeah. Yeah, they've wrestled
Yes, before. It's happened before. Was it?
I'm pulling
Oh, no,
up.
It wasn't. Yeah. So, I do have Okada retaining here.
No, they haven't wrestled. Unless I misspoke
tag match or whatever.
Nothing.
No, nothing. Oh, okay. This is kind of weird. DDT yeah. even? No?
Yeah, according to Cage Match, they haven't. Cage I swore match. They met in the... I swore they had a match, like, in Japan.
Yeah. This is weird. Really? Okay. Okay, so it's kind of exciting. It's hard to think that Takeshita isn't the future of AEW. Right there with Kyle Fletcher.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, they haven't wrestled against each other. Wow, that surprised me. I thought they did in Japan.
Yeah, this really surprises me too. So, yeah, a fresh big match in the future. Actually, I won't be mind if in the near future Okada eventually drops the title to Takeshita. I will not mind this whatsoever. Just... put some gold on Takeshita. This is what's important.
Yeah.
You?
Oh, I completely agree with you. I still think that Okada will win, though. So we will move on to our next match here. The MJF versus Daniel Garcia. Check out our interview with Daniel Garcia Sean just had yesterday. So make sure you check that out. It's nearly 30 minutes. Pretty good. But I have MJF winning.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to win. He is going to win. He is going to get the victory. That's just how I feel. I don't think that... granted, I don't know... we still don't know what Daniel Garcia's contract status is, but I still don't think that matters in the long run with this. I think MJF's the way to go. And, you know, that, who knows, it could be an upset, but I just think that the way they're going is MJF's going to get the victory, and he'll cheat again or do whatever he needs to do to get the victory, but he will win.
Okay. So what actually happened on this week's Dynamite was that Garcia opened up the show. He said that he could not possibly wait until All Out. But MJF didn't want to ruin the match. Garcia told him that his love for AEW was fake. And to counter that, MJF started talking about Daniel Garcia's mother, which, you know how this goes. You know how this goes. Daniel Garcia tried to make his way to MJF, who's, up in the rafters, in in the audience, of course, with his own personal security surrounding him. He was drinking some wine, which was most definitely not wine. And while Daniel Garcia was kicking security's ass and finally reached MJF, MJF just simply destroyed the wine bottle in his head. He busted him open, and then he hugged him and he kissed him, and he had his lip print on Daniel Garcia's forehead with his blood. So that was a really nice visual. A really, really nice visual. I think MJF's winning too. I don't know if MJF can take two losses back to back, all in and all out. I definitely see how MJF, you know, the real person MJF, is begging Tony Khan to put over Daniel Garcia here, because I think that MJF is as smart as any other person when it comes to AEW, and he surely knows that Daniel Garcia is probably the future of AEW when it comes to the Pillars 2.0. And I can see MJF pulling for Daniel Garcia to win. So this is actually really hard to predict. You know, logic isn't logicking here, because you can make a case for either of these people to win or lose, however, you know, whatever way of life and thinking you have. So this is actually a hard match to predict. I'm still going to stick to MJF, but if I don't know MJF, but if people close to him are right, he's gonna pull for Garcia to win this match. I mean, he did cave. Okay, did he really lose the Dynamite Diamond Ring, or is this part of the story?
No, didn't he pull it out at I thought he maybe he lost it. I don't know. I can't remember. I think he lost it for real, though, but I could be wrong. My memory.
Yeah, did he lose it for real, or is this part of the story?
No, did he pull it out at his? The way I said that sounded wrong, but I swear, I don't know. I thought he pulled it out at All In. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just thinking. No, it's legit. He did lose it. Okay, I must have been just daydreaming that.
Robert.
Like I said, I don't understand things. I don't remember, but we do have a super chat, so let's get to that. Doc Chris Mueller, how you doing, buddy? Says, I finally got to see an episode after weeks of not being able to. My only all-out prediction is that Willow puts Stat's face in a deep dish pizza. Shameless plug for my Ricochet interview. I love you both. We love you too, buddy.
This glad is not like don't talk about shame. Yeah, don't talk about shame on this platform, because we don't want any of your shame. Also, your interview, I'm sure, is absolutely amazing, because all your interviews are absolutely fire. Yes, Doc did. What the fuck is wrong with my camera? Doc did have an interview with Ricochet. I'm about to read it tomorrow while I walk to work. I cannot wait for this.
Hold on 1 second. Bunkered, what's FSG? It's like I've... It's not coming to me. FSG is getting documented. I don't... Well, I guess it's just not coming to me right now. Yeah, I'm probably sure...
What is this chat
referencing? FSG and Netflix have signed a collaboration agreement. Apparently, the Red Sox won't be the only team owned by FSG getting a documentary series. I don't know what... Like, I've heard of FSG, and it's just not coming to me right now.
I don't understand what this comment is referencing.
We're about to find out, hopefully. Oh, this reminds me. Congratulations to the artist formerly known as Madcap Moss.
Yes.
And Danielle Dashwood. They are expecting their first child.
This is so amazing. I love this. Babies are absolutely adorable. By the way, thank you, Doc. Thank you, Doc. Thank you, sweetie. We have missed you the past couple of weeks, but you are always a sight for my poorly makeup eyes.
So yes. Here's some other news that Sean just posted a few minutes ago. Shayna Baszler has re-signed with the WWE. So not sure on time or how long or anything, but he did confirm it. So Shayna will be sticking around the company for a while. So that's good. Good for her.
He would have probably broken that news earlier, but he was constipated and he couldn't.
Man, lots of poop talk today. Okay. Yes. Let's go to our next match, the AEW TBS Championship. Mercedes Moné defending her TBS title against Hikaru Shida. Monet's winning. It's just that simple.
Yeah, tell me how this match happened. It's probably something on Collision and I haven't watched it. How?
Yeah. Shida won a contenders match, I believe, to get... Yeah, she won, so she beat... I forgot who... She won a four-way match last week on Collision. She beat Queen Aminata, Thunder Rosa, and Serena Deeb. And the winner of that got the number one contender match for AEW All Out.
Okay, so that's an amazing bunch to beat in order for you to reach the final destination that is, in fact, Mercedes Moné. Okay. So were people... Because I don't remember if I asked you this question last week. Were people as mad as everyone at Wembley when it came to Mercedes Moné and Britt Baker?
I don't recall it being that bad. I mean, I don't know. It just... I wasn't mad at it. I mean, there's probably a lot of people that... People are mad at everything these days, so who knows? Like, it didn't bother me, but I wasn't paying attention to, like, the one thing I don't do, and I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody by any means, it's just I don't go looking at match reactions for the most part after a match, because I think it's all...
Jesus.
I think it's all up to the person. Like, it's the way you accept it for the most part. Like, if you... It's all from your own perspective. If you think a match sucks, it sucks. I don't think anybody's going to change your mind. But if some people didn't like it, then it is what it is. But I didn't have a problem with it. It's That's just why Meltzer that ratings never bother me. They just never have.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. Like, the people who are mad at Dave Meltzer's ratings are the people who... either feel incredibly strongly or hate incredibly strongly the thing that he rated. Like, the people who are indifferent to the pay-per-view or the matches, or are indifferent to his opinion, which isn't a bad thing. You're just like, it's someone's opinion and it's there. Okay? It's one person's opinion. That's why I loved Will Ospreay saying that, because Meltzer loves Will Ospreay and Will Ospreay covers a wrestling style that is for Dave Meltzer. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what he said. Like, my wrestling is appealing to Dave Meltzer, and this is why he ranks the matches the way he does. And this was a terrific way to phrase this, because like, everything less or more would have been not okay.
Yeah.
So I suppose that Mercedes Moné versus Hikaru Shida is probably going to be a really, really, really good match. If they give them proper 15 minutes, I'll be happy for this, because I don't think that Hikaru Shida is getting, you know, the praise that she deserves. And also, like, there's some weird people who keep saying that she can't wrestle. And this is weird to me because it's Sheeta, okay? I don't know which wrestler you're seeing, but, like, Sheeta can, in fact, wrestle.
I always find it funny whenever somebody says somebody can't wrestle, like, in general, and you see them on TV. Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, sure.
My God.
Anyways, yeah, so hopefully a solid 15 minutes are given to these women when it comes to an incredible match. Like Mercedes hasn't helped, because I think it's widely known that she hasn't been hitting, like, when it comes to mic work ever since she came to AEW. Are you, like, do you like her on the mic in AEW, or are you just kind of lost like me when it comes to this?
There's something missing, for sure. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because of crowd reaction. I think that might be a part of it. The crowd doesn't really react to her at all. And I think that has a big... I think that has a big impact on her. Because when she was in WWE, she got the reaction, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She got that. AEW, it's not like that for her. It's... And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like, from the... I'm not saying the crowd's at fault by any means. You're interested in what you're interested in. And that's the thing that people don't put into perspective is, in my opinion, for the most part, WWE and AEW have completely different hardcore fan bases.
Oh, absolutely.
They really do. And that's, I think that's why they act differently in promos compared to, like, the AEW ones. I just think they're just different for the fans. And I think it just hasn't worked. Do I think that it's Mercedes' fault? No, I don't. I think it's art storyline, and I think it's hard to pinpoint what the issue is, but I don't put it on Mercedes. I don't put it on her opponents. I just think I don't think they put a good focus on them, like, on the storyline.
Okay.
Because they don't seem to talk about it, like, much. Like, it's just that segment, and then it's over for the rest of the night. They don't go and show how, like, they don't go back and show backstage interviews again or anything like that. It's just hard to say. I don't really know. I can't pinpoint what the issue is. And maybe it's just people haven't been really intrigued with who she's feuded with. I mean, even Britt Baker was one that we were all excited for, we thought, but it didn't happen like the way we wanted it to. So, but I also don't know why that is. Maybe Jamie Hayter will help fix that. I'm hoping Jamie Hayter's going to be in a feud with her, because I think that would help Mercedes if you get her in a feud with Jamie Hayter. Because the crowd.
Yeah, but like, I would like Jamie Hayter to win that title. So probably not in the near future. That's
okay. I can see that. But like, other than that, somebody asked in the chat earlier, who do you see beating Mercedes for the TBS title?
Like, I can see that being Jamie Hayter. Like,
yeah, I can
come to think of it, like, I feel like she's a natural when it comes to fan favorites, because like, AEW had to push her because she was getting so popular with the crowd.
Yeah.
And like, the main focus was never on her. Like, it was different with Britt Baker, because the focus, AEW always put the focus on her, whether or not you would like to admit it or not. But Jamie Hayter organically went over with the people. So I can see that being Jamie Hayter.
Yeah.
She's so good.
All right, so we're going to speed up here because we still have like 4 matches to go and a lot more to talk about. So Chicago Street Fight Willow Nightingale versus Chris Statlander. Nightingale's going to get this win. She needs this win, in my opinion.
Yeah, she needs that win, but exactly like I will be thinking about our good friend Chris throughout this entire match. I just hope that this match doesn't suffer from the main event that we will be getting. I hope that people are still hype about this match because the way the main event was put over. That's what I'm saying. Yes, I also have Willow winning here. We all know just how brilliant the women are when it comes to hardcore wrestling in AEW. They always pull it off. So this happening on a grander stage can only make me happy.
Yeah. We move. So I have Nightingale. You have Nightingale. So we move on to the AEW International Championship. Will Ospreay taking on the Bastard Pack.
Rob, I'm already wet from this.
My God.
I mean, okay. tell me this isn't a hardcore panty wetter.
I don't wear panties, so I couldn't tell you, but so I'm sure if I did.
Put on a pair and you'll understand what I'm saying.
Okay, hold on. I'll be right back. No.
Pink with laces, okay?
How did you know that's what I had? Anyways, yeah, I'm excited for this match. Very excited for this match. Good old Bill Ospreay is going to win it, though. There you go.
It's... I'm sad to say, but I'm always bummed out when I have to root against Pac because...
Oh, we lost you. We lost you, Maggie. Can't hear you.
Here now.
Yeah, you're back. You're back and better than ever.
Thank you. Yeah, so as I was saying, I never want to root against Pac. It's stupid and I hate it. But it's always as if he's always the bridesmaid and never the bride. He never wins the big one, you know? And yeah, he's a trios champion now, but I can't wait for this match. It's gonna be a freaking banger.
Banger after banger. Oh, now she sneezes. Jesus.
I don't know what's happening in the show. This is off the rails. I'm so sorry, guys. I did not even have time to mute my mic, which, you know, it probably could have muted on its own, but whatever. Yeah, match of the night, probably. I can't wait. And I'm really sad that it's a Saturday night pay-per-view and not a Sunday because, like, I have to get up really, really early before work in order to watch it. It's fucking bums me out. Who do you got?
Oh, I got Billy Ospreay. Yeah, Will Ospreay is going to win. I have a problem picking in against Will Ospreay. I think he's the best going today. And I just can't pick against him, Captain. All right, we move on to our next match. Let's go to the steel cage match between El Swerve Stricklando and Adam Pejo. Man, this was tough. This one's tough because...
This one is a tough match to predict. Because both can make a point out of the other one losing or they themselves winning because it's a lights out match and it doesn't matter. In the scheme of...
Yeah.
In a scheme of,
No pun intended.
Record books. Yes, it will be fire.
A light outs match? They change it?
It is a light outs match, yes.
I thought it was steel cage. Or is it a steel cage light outs match?
It's a steel cage lights out match.
Okay, I was confused. Robert! Sorry. It's my first day. Leave me alone. I was even on the call yesterday, so that should explain why I should not. I should know that.
Yeah, but, exactly. Yeah, it's a. That's what. What that's what I meant when it when yeah, I said that I know, it didn't matter. Yeah. It's really incredibly hard match to predict. Oh man, this is so hard. I really Swerve Strickland can win here, you know that, right? Like
oh, yeah.
He could, you know, have a clean slate and everything. He can win, and Hangman would be like, well, yeah, but like it didn't matter.
Yeah. So who you got?
I'm gonna pick Hangman. Sorry. I know. It's like put the tail on the donkey or whatever that.
Pin the tail on the donkey?
Yeah. Or donkey. Whatever. Yeah. That come game's called. Because it's a shot in the dark for me, basically. I can see either you. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with Swerve. I was going to go opposite whatever you went on this one because I think we've agreed on everything. So, but I think Swerve's going to get it because the way that ended, I just think that's the way to go. Plus, I think he's going to get that title back from Bryan Danielson at Wrestle Dream.
Okay.
So that's why I think he's just going to win.
Yeah, but like Darby Allin's lurking around the corner.
Yeah, Darby's going to lose too.
Scott George is also right in the chat because Adam Page can win, and because it's non-sanctioned match and it doesn't count, this can probably make Adam Page even more crazy than he is right now.
Yeah,
because this could drive him crazy because like this thing eating him from the inside that he finally beat him, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Swerve. You got Mr. Okay. Page. Mm-hmm. So now we go to the main event.
No, this will be the main event.
Okay, well, the AEW championship match.
Yeah, the main event and then the unsanctioned match.
Yeah,
you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So Bryan Danielson taking on Mr. Jackson Perry.
Yeah, there's no way. Yeah, Jack Perry's beating Bryan Danielson. I hope for a really good match. I keep thinking about the main event for double. Not the main event. Double or Nothing 2020. Jack Perry that back then. Jungle Boy versus MJF was probably my favorite match on the card. No way Jack Perry pins Bryan Danielson. In no way. It's really interesting if Moxley has any part in this because of the line he gave to Jack Perry on this week's Dynamite. But this is just, I'm sure that this all will mean something in the future. I just don't know if it's going to be now.
Yeah.
But Bryan Danielson wins.
Do you think it is possible Christian tries to cash in on his title match?
It could happen. It could definitely happen.
I could see it happening, but I don't see him winning it either.
No. I'm not winning. Like, like a lot of shenanigans can happen with Christian Cage, and have in mind that face turn from Luchasaurus is coming. And I suppose that he will try to help Christian Cage with the cash in. And at the end of the day, Christian Cage would blame Luchasaurus for not doing it correctly. And that's when Luchasaurus beats him up. Probably.
Yeah. Does anybody know if Christian Cage is scheduled for a Collision or Rampage tonight? Because I'm curious.
Yeah.
To know if he's scheduled to be on there, then I'm less likely to think he'll cash in. If he's not on there at all, I'm thinking he's actually going to appear. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think it'll kind of get people to forget about it a little bit. I mean, that's just me. I'm just going out on a limb there. But yeah, Bryan Danielson gets the victory. He's leaving regardless. He's leaving Chicago with that title in hand. So there you go. So that's our AEW All Out predictions segment. So now that means we are going over to our Cooper effect. Are you ready, Maggie?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
That damn music. Okay, guys. So this is a really, really cute one. It's about a cat named Taboo. And it's a cat burglar, you see, because it steals clothes. It's so stupid. This is so cute. So Taboo, a 12-year-old black and white resident of West Yorkshire in England, has stolen gloves, socks, underpants, and shoes from properties across the area. Her owner, Sandra, has now been forced to share regular pictures of the loot on social media so residents can reclaim their stolen items. I mean, tell me this isn't like, first of all, look at the stash on the cat and the brows, okay? Like, women pay money for eyebrows like that, okay? Maybe not white, but nevertheless. The cat looks so incredible, but it also looks like, give me the money, see? Nah, see? Curtains for you, Rocky. Yep. Yes, a cat burglar. So it chases. No, it doesn't chase. Clothes can't run. So it steals clothes and then brings them to her owner as if, you know, an offering. It's so amazing. It's so cute. I also think that the cat means no harm. Oh, so calm down. Taboo is also a wonderful name for a cat. This is a wonderful way in which you can say, hey, guys, give us season 2 of Taboo with Tom Hardy. Just give me. I don't know why we haven't had season 2 of the show. It's fucking amazing. So we can actually move on and talk about Julia, if you like.
Did you know there's something about this story? This cat actually has a relative that's been busted for theft, and it's this cat.
They look nothing alike, Rob.
I know. I just work with me here. Just work with me. I just know this picture pops you.
I know. Look at the cat.
That's the point of this. It just pops you. It's like, it got caught. Like,
rat-handed.
Yeah.
Rat pawed and everything. So, NXT Julia. No Mercy happened last week. This wasn't, you know, the end segment of the show because, as good as Roxanne versus Jada Parker was, I would like to think that Jada Parker will be main eventing an NXT pay-per-view one day because of her herself and not because of someone else that will be stealing her spotlight. I understand the significance of Julia, though. This was a big thing. This was a big deal. People knew who she was. And that's incredibly exciting because she just came out and just all eyes were on her. And at the closing segment of this week's NXT, she challenged Roxanne for her championship at the debut episode of NXT on the CW. So they're kind of stacking that show and they're making you understand that this is a must-watch show. I personally can't wait for this. I do think that Julia will beat Roxanne for that championship. Roxanne said that she will crush Io Sky's and Asuka's streaks when it comes to NXT. You know, reign, most championship defenses, more pay-per-view matches and everything. Afterwards, I do see Roxy moving on to the main roster, and I'm going to kind of miss her on NXT. I know that Rob and I have been pretty vocal because we were like, and now she's getting called up. No. Now she's getting called up. And everything. But like, now that it's finally here, I'm not ready for it whatsoever. So you just decided to casually put the Julia...
Yeah, I was going through some files and I saw that I had that when I was making the thumbnail. So I was like, I might as well just throw it up there.
Yes. Okay. So what do you think about all of this?
I thought it was great. I liked how they brought her in and the crowd reaction was really good for her. And even on Tuesday for NXT, it was a good reaction for her. So yeah. I'm excited for the matchup taking place on October 1st at NXT Chicago. Is that right? So yeah, it's going to be a big show. They're going all out for it. And I have a feeling she will win the title. I just had that feeling. So. And then what I'd like to see happen after that is Stephanie Vaquera come out. Just kind of like the same way.
Oh, you're just throwing everything up against the wall, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm good at that.
Yeah.
Why not? I say go with it, you know. You only live once.
I understand where you're coming from, but I would like to see, you know, a proper, you know, reign of destruction for Julia. You know?
Yeah.
Although I can see the force shifting when it comes to NXT's women's division. Because, like, you understand that right now you have that high school mentality when it comes to NXT women's locker room, which is kind of, you know, there. You know, you have Fallon Henley and Jasmine Nix and JC Jane, you know, the mean girls and everything. And on the other hand, you have women like Stephanie and Julia, who will kick your fucking ass. And like, this is a huge contrast between the two types. And I can't wait to see how they play off of each other. This will be an interesting pace, having in mind that NXT has been putting over women's wrestling a lot ever since that happened. Yeah, Sean, thank you for bringing this up, because like, we are going to talk about this. In my wildest dreams, and I shared my thoughts on Twitter, this is a returning Charlotte Flair, and Jordynne Grace just beats her clean in the middle of the ring and everything, and just I know this has like lower than 1% chance happening, because it's not ever gonna happen. But Jordynne Grace and Charlotte Flair is a dream match of mine that I would most definitely would like to see.
So this is what I think. Part of me wants to say it's going to be Natalya, because I don't know if you saw on Monday, they hinted at Natalya being on Raw. Lyra hinted. Okay. She hinted that she has an idea for Calgary, that and they hinted that it'd be Natalya. Part of me thinks Natalya would be a good person to answer that challenge for Tuesday. However, I think it would be a bigger deal if you put that on the October 1st NXT, if you were going to do that at all. Like, that's what I would do. Now, the other thing I want to go into real quick is, if you go back and look at Raw before Natalya was off for whatever, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, mm-hmm. however long it was. If you remember when Sonya came back, Sonya Deville, mm-hmm. one of the first people you saw her talk to backstage was Natalya. There's a part of me that would absolutely love Natalya to turn heel on Lyra and Zelina Vega this week on Raw. And join with the...
Well, I can see that happening because Natalya's been kind of a tweener throughout the
Yeah, she's like the career. Big Show. Like, she's very Big Show-like when it comes to the heel turns. Like, she'll turn heel and then be face next week, you know? That's just the way it goes. But that's just kind of how I see it. Plus, this coming week, this Raw is going to be probably the best ever because Bret Hart's going to be on it. Did you know that? I just wanted to add that in there.
Okay.
The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. By the way, I added that up there.
Yeah, I saw. It's really nice.
Putting a sharpshooter on Jonathan Michaels. Yeah. And it says, the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, Bret Hart. So,
of course. There you go. Proof.
Proof that I am a butt slut.
Butt slut is really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so good that it's normal.
Yeah.
So Jordynne Grace challenge. I'm just so incredibly happy that she's gonna be on NXT. That is all. Always happy to see Jordynne Grace.
I'm always happy to see Jordynne Grace. She's one of our favorites.
Imagine thinking Jordynne Grace isn't fucking good. Okay.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Like the video from Sean, like she pulled a tire faster and harder than like three other women. I don't even like Mandy Rose and who else was there?
Ash by Elegance.
Xia Brooks, right?
Xia Brookside, yeah.
Yeah, Xia Brookside and what? Imagine thinking that this woman cannot fucking kill you with her eyelashes. Okay. I need for someone to just tell her that I love her, okay? It was right there.
I think it's a possibility, but I think WWE is definitely going to go after her.
Absolutely. And this is a question for Sean. Also, subscribe to Fightful Select. We are heading down the home stretch, so get your super chats and or humper chats in. If you like us to talk or touch upon something that is not, up there. What did you think of Gunther versus Orton 2 at Bash in Berlin?
I thought it was good. Crowd reaction was good, solid. I thought it was a good match, fun match. I wouldn't put it on scale of their King of the Ring match, but I thought this was still a very solid match. I enjoyed it. So I thought it was a solid match. I thought it was a good main event match. It made sense for it to be the main event match for where they were. And I'm glad that I'm glad Cody and Kevin opened the show. I thought that was the way to go because you didn't want to go back to back with that.
Amazing match.
Yeah. I enjoyed the show. I thought it was a good show overall too. And I'm very curious to see if we see a heel turn from Kevin Owens soon. I think it's been something we've been waiting for, like for a while, like not necessarily waiting for it to happen, but just assume it's going to happen, but nothing yet. We'll find out.
I still think that because Kevin Owens didn't show up. I'm sorry. I meant the Randy Orton didn't show up on Raw this week, right? Or did I miss something?
No, he wasn't on Raw.
Yeah. Okay. He's a SmackDown superstar, but he still was, a man that was facing a Raw superstar from the, previous pay-per-view. So he wasn't there. Gunther only mentioned him and said that he beat the best version of Randy Orton. That's why he said everything that he said about Randy Orton before the match, because he wanted to bring out the best in Orton. So I still think that Orton shows up at this week's SmackDown. He was like, yeah, I tried, and then he turns heel on Cody. I still think that he's going to be the one who turns heel because of all the frustration built up inside him from that loss versus Gunther. So taking it back to Gunther versus Orton, this didn't click for me. And I'm probably one of the few people, because I saw that everyone loved the match. And don't get me wrong, the match was fine. The match was absolutely fine. But the bar was so high. It was set so high from their first match. And I was just expecting just fucking fireworks. And I really have no... I don't know why it didn't click for me, but like, if you can remember, because like we discussed this with texts, this pay-per-view kind of didn't click for me. I enjoyed No Mercy a lot more. I have in mind, I did get the chance to watch them, you know, in peace, because like I wasn't hurrying for work or anything. I had all the time in the world, and it just still didn't click for me the entire pay-per-view. I don't know why, maybe because of, you know, all the wrestling mushed together. It was probably that. It's nothing against the superstars, nothing against the booking or anything. The crowd was freaking amazing. I'm always biased when it comes to crowds outside of North America. So this is probably why. So the next person to challenge Gunther is probably going to be Sami Zayn, because he came out during this week's Raw and he's like, I know. The thing I love most is that basically Sami Zayn gave us a history lesson when it came to the Intercontinental Championship. He said, you know, all of the pastime greats started with winning the Intercontinental Championship, and then they all moved on to bigger and better things. And that, hence, Gunther, because he did the exact same thing. And Sami Zayn just congratulated him, and he was like, maybe I should challenge you next, because I'm the only person who's pinned you on the main roster. And then Gunther started making sense, and he was like, yeah, you pinned me at WrestleMania, but like, what have you done ever since? Like, you've lost every match, almost every match that you've been a part of. And that is true. That is fucking true. So what I would like to see now is for Sami Zayn to, you know, crank up some victories, just so this can actually look plausible and believable and fair. Also, like, Sami saying, oh, you just don't want to face me because, like, you know I can beat you because I've beaten you before. It's the stupid thing is Sami always looks better and people are always root for him, mostly when he's chasing stuff, when he's chasing the gratitude of the bloodline, when he's chasing the gratitude of certain member of the bloodline, when he's chasing... you know, the abolishment of the bloodline, and then the championship that means most in the bloodline, and then the tag team titles, and then the IC title. You know, like everything that Sami Zayn has been fighting for in past 2 years, he always looks better when he's chasing something. It's the babyface curse when it comes to building up a babyface in WWE. What do you think about all of this? Where does this stand in your head?
I think it's going to be definitely Sami Zayn. I think that's the way they're going. Sami won't win the title, but that's where they're going. That's the direction they're going. And I think I liked how Gunther did the right thing. I loved how he said no. I was expecting that. And I thought it was good. That's typical heelish move right there. And I will say this. I'm excited to watch those two wrestle again because they've had great matches.
So. Absolutely.
But Ace asked this question. Who in TNA will dethrone Jordynne Grace before she leaves? If she leaves for WWE?
I don't know if...
I think it's Alicia Edwards. But
Alicia Edwards... is probably for now yeah. is the only answer, but it's always also not the right answer, because
no, I know. I just that's just who came to mind because
I love
a lot of us. Yeah, a lot of us thought it would be Giselle, but Giselle Shaw.
Yeah, but like she was granted her. Yeah. She was granted her release. I don't know. It's like I said, Lish is. It's probably a good answer, but not the right answer for me because Alicia Edwards is amazing every time that she fights alongside Eddie, her husband. It's always, it's entertaining.
Yeah,
she's going around with Kenda, her kendo stick, Kenda. I just don't think that. I don't think that they've built up. Someone from the knockouts division as good as they need to be in order for them to dethrone Jordan Grace. But if you ask me, if she decides to leave TNA, she just leaves and relinquishes the title with no one beating her. For me, that is the best thing. Probably not, because if you're Jordan Grace, I'm sure that you're going to want to put over someone on your way out. So
I just don't know who would be right now if it's not Quake. I mean, I'd be okay with Tasha Steelz. I like her a lot, but I think they have a lot to go there. I mean,
into the knockouts division. I will not mind that.
Yeah. Sean asked another good question before we wrap up. Who does Gunther lose the title to? I think he loses it to Jonathan Cena.
I hate that because Sean says that also. Yep. And I fucking hate this. I fucking hate this. No. just fucking pisses me off a lot.
I think it makes sense. That's why. Like,
it makes all the sense in the world. I understand that. And I understand each and everyone's, reasoning behind it. I get it. I love John Cena. But like, yeah, they planted seeds for it being CM Punk bunkers. Yes, you're right. Because, hey, that fucking bracelet got destroyed. Yay. it probably got destroyed because like Drew McIntyre pulled the bracelet out of his trunks and the bracelet was touching his wiener throughout the entirety of the match.
When I was on True Hill Heat on Wednesday, I said that CM Punk technically got teabagged.
the bracelet was, hugging Drew McIntyre's ballsack throughout the entire match.
It's a gift that keeps on giving there, Clark.
Yes. Jesus. And then, do you think that he kind of, like a scrunchie around? No, I'm not.
Come on.
Okay, so I'm just asking the serious questions here. I am a wonderful reporter who asks the important questions. Okay, so moving on from that visual, you can thank me later, guys. So it was touching everything in Drew's trunks, and then CM Punk kiss it. And the universe was like, we need to destroy this bracelet before Punk does it again. Or maybe if we destroy it fast enough, we can make it go away. So Punk called out Gunther, but then Drew McIntyre just attacked him again, and we're gonna see that again, probably at Bad Blood. So when it comes to Gunther,
I don't want that. I understand the reasoning. And when it's about logic, surely it'll be John Cena, but I just want it to be Ilya Dragunov. I really, really want it to be Ilya Dragunov because it plays off of history. Probably they want to move past that history because like they've given us zero
reasons to think that Ilya and Gunther would be a thing soon in on the main roster. So yeah, I could probably see it being either John Cena or CM Punk, and I am so sad about it.
We'll wrap it up with this one, and this is kind of going back to what I said earlier. The bracelet thing, Vasco, yeah, that's what it is. He says that bracelet thing is so lame. How is WWE doing better? You know, the thing is what I'll say is, it's the bracelet thing has done, like, a lot of people might not like it, but when you think about it, a freaking bracelet is what got this story, like, so far. Like, as far as it's gotten. I know it's kind of crazy, but in a way, it's kind of amazing, too. I mean, when you, in the long run, like, in the grand scheme of things, I think it's kind of, like, crazy from a storyline perspective that a freaking bracelet was such a big part of the story.
I mean, it definitely gets people talking. I mean, we're talking about it right now. And if it weren't for the bracelet, because I don't know if they care that people are talking it from about a specific reason why they, you know, think the bracelet is a part of, you know, the story. But like, what else are we going to be discussing? You know, them having a four-corner strap match?
Yeah, I mean, people, and I'm not like, by no means, Vass, I don't want it to sound like I was tagging you by any means. I'm not. I'm just saying, like, I get your point completely, and it does sound, if I didn't watch WWE and you told me that was going on, I would probably be like you. I'm like, what? But the fact that we've been watching, I think it's kind of amazing they made it this far with it. That's just how I feel. But Maggie, tell everybody where they can find you.
This can also be a thing where WWE is self-aware and it's playing with itself, you know, it's being sarcastic. The blood feud over a bracelet.
You know they're gonna start selling that damn bracelet soon.
I know. That poor person who made the bracelet, by the way. Guys, you can follow me on Twix or X or whatever on Twitter @Maggie_IK and on Instagram @Maggie.IK. Thank you so much for joining us, Rob.
Yeah, guys, you can follow me @RobWilkins on Twitter or X. I'm also on Instagram @FightfulRob and on Threads @FightfulRob. And then, of course, every Friday, catch Maggie and I right here for Coexisting at 3 o'clock Eastern. We have a good old time. And I also want to say congratulations, I nearly forgot about this, to Killer Kelly and Trey Miguel. They're expecting a baby as well. So congratulations to them. So babies are being made. Babies are being made. We know that. So,
hey, Wesley was beaten by Zach from TNA. This was weird. By the way, match of the night in NXT No Mercy. Match of the year contender also. Really, really
TNA No Mercy too, as I call it.
Yes, TNA No Mercy also. And everything is NXT. If you haven't watched NXT No Mercy, please go on back and watch this match specifically because it was
fucking and enjoy NXT All Out. And then we have NXT Bad Blood and then NXT NXT Collision tonight and
NXT Dynasty.
Yeah. Oh, last thing, Maggie, tonight is the last WWE SmackDown on Fox.
On Fox, yes, it is. So we're going to see Giovanni Vinci come back. And
and it's so bad, Fox is getting rid of it.
Cody Rhodes and Solo Sikoa, are they going to have face-to-face or are they having a match?
I assume they're having a face. Yeah, it's addresses Solo, so.
Yes. Okay.
And then we have Giovanni Vinci makes his re-debut tonight. We also have Bayley versus Tiffany Stratton.
Yes.
So, we got that going on. I don't think they've said who Vinci's wrestling, so I assume it's just going to be like a
jobber, probably.
Yeah, a jobber or just somebody that you don't see much of on TV.
Yeah. Tozawa.
And I do expect to see maybe like a, maybe, it might not be like, oh, did I say Trey Miguel? It was Myron Reed, isn't it? No, I thought it was Trey Miguel.
I have no idea who Killer Kelly is dating because I do not care for people's
now I'm like,
personal
well,
life.
I got to get this right because now I'll feel bad if I got that. Well, I mean, I already got it wrong, but at least I can fix it before the show is over.
Yes, sure.
But,
yeah, but like,
it is Myron Reed. My bad. Shit. Either I'm telling people when they're having kids or I'm getting the wrong people who they're
having They're like saying that, you know, different kinds of wrestlers are becoming dads.
Thanks.
And everything.
Well, I'm glad that, Pedro, thanks for helping me there.
Thank you, Pedro. Thank you, Pedro. Yes.
Sorry for that, Trey. I know you're watching, and Killer Kelly, I know you're watching too. You're a big fan of this show.
Yes.
I honestly thought it was, wow, that's cool. Good for them either way. Myron Reed, congrats. Yes. And
babies are a good thing.
Trey Miguel, one day when you have kids, congratulations to you too. I'm sorry for that. That's my bad. Myron Reed and Killer Kelly having babies.
Yes.
A baby. I don't know if they're having babies yet, but at least one. You know, we're going to end the show before I do something else. So, peace out, homies. Jesus Christ. Bye. Enjoy All Out.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.